This is the Power Guys Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. Okay, we're getting started today. I'm pretty excited. Why do I have these on? I'm pretty excited. Again, it's like a security blanket. I put on my headphones. I'm excited about talking about these last two examples of God breaking through mankind's barrier of self-reliance, self-preservation, sin that ultimately brings enslavement, death, general hardship, no peace. If we think about the consequences of wrongdoing, even from a human standpoint, it's seldom good. Broken families, broken relationships, living by war, ultimately means dying by the same means. These are all consequences of sin. And when we think about God breaking through with His light, I want us to think about what He breaks through and His threefold purpose for breaking through, or maybe criteria of what breaking through is. And I'll pray first, and we will continue. Lord, I pray for today's lesson today and how God breaks through history to make Himself known, to restore glory to His name, to take the people that He's created and turn their eyes to Himself. I pray that you would glorify Yourself today. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we're gonna look at, I'm not resting on the passages of Scripture where it's like super personal work, like David's ability to defeat Goliath, or God speaking to Elijah in the mountain, or even Moses in the burning bush. And I'm not speaking to those ultra personal instances in Scripture between God and a man of God who is actually already decided with God's work and His calling out, except for one. We are going to go to one example, and that is an example of Abraham. Abraham is our example. But I want to show you how certain criteria led up to, not that we need to figure out God's ways and means, but what we need to figure out is that He has, in fact, broken through a barrier, our little sphere, to glorify Himself and to reveal that He is here. That He is God, that He is established, that He is on the throne, that He is aware, that He works within our confines. And one of those confines is genealogies. I know most Christians, when they go to Scripture and they read all the genealogies, they're like, what in the world? But you've got to understand, without genealogy, anyone who is concerned about whether or not is the what Scripture says is true has to consider genealogy and valid if. If you're going to come on, let me put it this way. A lighthouse and a ship. I think this will work. The ship is carrying a message. Okay. The ship is important. God is important. It is important that we get our eyes on him. It is important that we focus on the creator of this world. And it is important that we submit ourselves to him. So this ship is coming full steam. It can't come just any old way, right? It's got to come to a port, right, where the message can be loaded off the ship and spread throughout the land, okay? A port. Genealogies are the lighthouse. So the ship is moving along, and it's got to get past the lighthouse. The lighthouse observes if this is legitimate. The genealogy observes if this is legitimate. It's not so much, and a lot of cultures. I heard of a missionary who tried to tell these people over, my rabbit's making a lot of noise, tried to tell the people that he was ministering to about Jesus, and Jesus came to die for you, and all this stuff, and they're like, good idea. Did not get past this barrier. Did not get into port until he started to read the genealogies. Because God doesn't just break through He doesn't just send messages willy-nilly. The ship doesn't just get to come any old way. The ship is, and you'll notice, before God breaks through his light in scripture, there is a long genealogy list. Just like there is before he describes pulling Abraham out of where he was living. There's a genealogy there, and there's a genealogy before he sends Christ. Because it's not that he has to do anything. It's that he knows and he observes the human context. He knows that we are operating by time. He knows that we are operating by genealogy. This family led to that family. He knows that we're operating according to sun, moon, stars, 7 days a week. Grandpa's grandpa, and this is how I'm here. So what does he do? He doesn't come around and ignore our context. He comes in to our context. So when you say, I wish you would just write something in the sky, it's like saying to an artist who has labored over cultural context and has put forth art to make a difference and justice, just giving them something meaningless and only centered around you, unless that was the purpose, that he makes art of faces, your face, family. That's not what he does. Just paint my kitchen table. That's not what I do. That's not what I do. So just write something in the sky. We got to think about the ramifications of what we're asking God to do. If he's going to break through and shine his light onto mankind, it is There are three trademarks: years of separation and operating without God. Generational. Remember, yesterday, God created us in his image. We are his. He's not going anywhere. And so when he breaks through, there's criteria. And one of those criteria is that we've been operating. Look around you. Look around you right now at how this world operates. We've been operating long periods of time without one look up. Operating without God. Generation upon generation. That's one criteria. The second criteria is we're suffering under the consequences of sin. We saw this with Noah's Ark. I didn't go there. That's a gleaming example. But since a lot of people don't believe in Noah's Ark, I happen to believe that Noah's Ark happened. I think it explains a lot about the layers that we see in nature, sediment, and all that. And there are lots of resources for that that are off the main trail. But I'm just going to be open and honest. I don't think there's any other way jellyfish fossils can end up at the top of the Grand Canyon without there being worldwide catastrophic event, that the Colorado River did not make that huge canyon. And I could have gone there, but I went with something else. I went with God calling forth a whole nation. That's what I went with, that still exists. Anyway, so I'm getting ahead of myself. Consequences of sin, including enslavement, death, war, total lack of peace, general hardship, just because we're living with our sin generationally. Generation upon generation. And ultimately, the reason why he breaks through, the reason why he illumines mankind to who he is to restore his glory. See, we were made worshipers. We were stamped with an image. That's his image. And so he can do nothing less than restore what is rightfully his, and that is his glory. So let's go to our chapter. I hope I'm making sense. We are in Genesis 11. And you can read that whole genealogy starting at verse 10. But I'm going to read, there's a genealogy starting from the flood, what we just said, what we just talked about a little bit. And it goes right on through. Boom, boom, boom. God knows exactly what he is breaking into. God knows how we are operating. God knows our familial recall. He knows, and therefore he is. And for a lot of cultures, that's the ticket. He knows where I'm from, therefore I know who he is. And it's not so easy for us to understand an ultra-independent Western mindset. But for the missionary ministering to the to who he was ministering to, it was a deal breaker. I cannot believe someone that doesn't know my context. And that's the trouble with ultra-independence. We don't know our context anymore. And we don't know our histories anymore. So we don't know why it's falling off the rails. But God knows, as he's looking throughout history, why it's falling off the rails. And God knows that it's going down the tubes. And God knows that he has to step in. See, just before this little calling out of Abraham was the Tower of Babel. What happened at the Tower of Babel? And there is archaeological evidence for the Tower of Babel. What happened there? We are going to be like God. We are going to go up to the heavens. We are going to do all these things. Let's build, 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 build. And then what did God do? He visited and broke up the people by language. And so they could no longer communicate. We know that getting everybody on track digitally has really brought us all together. It's really kind of gives me pause when thinking about all that and how it's so easy for us to all communicate. And, you know, we got Google Translate, we got the internet, we know so much and we know so little at the same time. It's kind of like a new Babel. It's really odd. I mean, it's really, really not odd, I guess. It's really interesting. But here we go. Verse 27. Nope, not verse 27. I'm going to begin at verse 24. Go through that. If you want to, the genealogy. Verse 24. When Nahor lived 29 years, he became the father of Terah. After Terah was born, Nahor lived 119 years and had other sons and daughters. After Terah was 70 years old, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Here's the story of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. And Haran died in the city of Ur in Babylonia, and the land where he was born. He died while his father Terah was still alive. Abram and Nahor both got married, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, and the daughter of Haran. And Haran was the father of Milcah and Iscah, but Sarai wasn't able to have children. Terah left Ur in Babylon. He took with him his sons Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran. Haran also took his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. All of them left together to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they made their home there. Terah lived for 205 years and then died at Haran. The Lord said to Abram, and then you get the reason why Terah left. It's very patriarchal, but you get the reason why Terah left. God breaks through to talk to Abram. Has he done any talking to anybody since he split the languages and all those genealogies? No. The genealogies are much more than context. They're a weight to the narrative. Just like if you try to get past, first of all, if you ignore the lighthouse, you're running into a cliff. If you try to get past the lighthouse, go around the lighthouse, you're not going to go to the port. It's a weight. Go from your country, your people, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And this is where we're resting. Remember, we talked about our overall passage here is John 3:19. This is the judgment that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. This is ongoing. This isn't just now. This is ongoing. And then with our criteria, what does God choose to do? Break through. Men loved darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. And basically, that is what God is about. Restoring that glory. Getting that work done in his people. Restoring the broken relationship. This is why he comes. This is why we're not so flippant with, can you please start some fireworks and then I'll believe you? This is why we don't mess. Because this means something. If God is going to show up, this is very, very, it's sobering, even in our services. I'm not saying we should be afraid of it. But I'm saying if God is showing up in your services, are you changing? Because that's what he's there for. That's what he's there for. To change lives. And so he's about to change Abram's life. But he's about to change the world and how it's operating. So he sets up this nation, and we'll get to, he sets up this nation that is still around today. And actually it was recalled in 19, the Israelites were scattered all over the world. They went through HE double hockey sticks in World War II, and then they were brought back together. And in the land of Canaan, Jordan Valley, in 1946, as prophesied, 1945, 1946, as prophesied, reestablished on the world's front. They are a living testimony that God visited this earth and made something. A people distinct. Because their religion is distinct. The two are not, no other group of people is like this. Where they are identified not only by their ethnicity, but by their religion. And some would argue, okay, well, maybe Muslims are close. But it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal how such a small group, such a scattered group, a group that has gone through untold persecution. I mean, and it wasn't just World War II. We know this, right? It was time and time and time again. There were always Jewish quarters. They were never in the mix. But despite this, despite Satan trying to destroy them all out in World War II, here they are. Still distinct. In front of all the world. Because when God does something, he does something. And things change. I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing to others. He's talking to Abraham. And I will bless those who bless you. But on a broader front, he's also talking about his seed, the children of Israel. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. All nations on earth will be blessed because of you. So that's our first example. Our second example is also couched in by a genealogy. Because genealogies have weight. And God doesn't just show up without a lighthouse. God doesn't show up without a port. God doesn't. There is a purpose. There is a plan. There is a context. God is going to show up. So we need to be very sober-minded when we ask God to show up, because it's not for grins and giggles. He's coming to change. He's coming to restore his glory. He's coming to change lives. He's coming to restore his glory. So, we have a big, huge, long genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. And we're not going to go through that. But it starts with who? The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. I want to pause right here and let you know God knows your context. I was just talking about this with him because I tend to over-dramatize things that I've done, or I keep pulling it back up, or I get really down about battles with rebellion. And God was reminding me today concerning some of the promises that he's given me and why certain things were promised. And it, within my spirit, he said, because I know what kind of person you are. I know you weren't motivated by that. And so I added that. And it kind of sort of blew me away because, you know, if we're going to adopt the world's view of God, he's just indiscriminate. He just shows up. He just poof. He just, he's very non-intuitive. He's very removed. He's non-relational. But that's not who he is. So don't give the poof adjective to this God. Don't give the nonchalant, indiscriminate, I mean, I guess that's the wrong word. Nonchalant, passive, unengaged descriptor to this God. Don't give the hoity careless just gonna fire lightning bolts at will. Description of this God. Because that's not who he is. So we have a genealogy and it has been years since God worked through the prophets. Minor prophets, all those in the Old Testament. It's been a long time of sin and discouragement that comes with it, enslavement, death, scattering, generations of generations, operating without God. And so God is about to break through in Matthew 1 again. Because why? We've been created in his image and he's never walked off the construction site. He never doesn't, like my double negative, follow through. He never puts a project on the shelf, never to return to it. Rest assured, he's going to finish what he started in you. Because this is amazing. We're talking generations and generations and generations. That didn't care, went their own way. Lost sight, maybe that too. Lost sight of your purpose. Lost sight of your direction. Does God even exist? Is he still around? Does he care about what I've been through? Does he care about my familial context? Does he care about the way I've suffered? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, is the answer. Verse 18 of chapter 1, Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. By the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this culminates in Jesus Christ. All of the reasons why we're on this earth, all of the purposes he's put in our hearts and in our minds. All of our failings and no answers for them. All of the sin that drags us to hell. All of it is answered in Jesus Christ. Peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.